It's not uncommon when I start working with somebody, you're meeting with them for the first time, and they'll tell me, I've been trying an autoimmune diet for a while, and I'm not noticing huge changes, and I don't know what else to do. Or they feel like at first they started to feel a lot better, but then they're just in this holding pattern. Maybe they no longer are noticing improvement, or they've started to backslide. I want to talk about this because this is something I see all the time. And if this is where you're at, friend, there's so much more we can do. The anti-inflammatory diet is really important. I don't want to undervalue that. So I want to start off right here by acknowledging that for some people, that is the thing that their body needs to be able to calm down this highly inflamed stress response. However, it is not always the magical solution that it's touted out to be. Sometimes we'll go to our doctor and they'll suggest doing an anti-inflammatory protocol. And so we start eliminating processed foods. We take out gluten, we take out dairy, we take out these things that are considered highly inflammatory to a population of people, and then we start to feel better. But we might then start to stabilize and notice that the improvement we were hoping, we're only making it a little part of that way. Or we started to improve and then things started to get worse again. Or, worst case scenario, you notice no improvement at all, and that was the only suggestion you were given aside from the things you're already doing. So, what do we do in this situation? So, the anti-inflammatory diet can be really helpful because if we have a high amount of inflammation in the digestive tract or in other places in the body, if we're dealing with a lot of inflammation, this is something that we need to reduce. And so, that's why oftentimes the dietary changes can be so supportive for our bodies. Because we're reducing the load of inflammation that is happening so that the anti-inflammatory processes that your body is naturally doing day in and day out are then able to catch up. I like to kind of think of this as a balancing act. You know, think of the scales of justice. If on one hand we have unchecked inflammation that is just really heavy, and on the other side we have our body's ability to bring down that inflammation to put out those fires of inflammation, and the one side is heavier than the other, particularly in the realm of inflammation being higher, and then our ability to anti-inflame, to put out those fires is, you know, more of we're talking about a forest fire with a hose that you have at your house, right? Versus having a house that, you know, we need to water the grass because the grass might catch on fire, or it does catch on fire, and then having the hose that is just attached to our house. That would be an appropriate response, right? And so if we then add some things to, you know, one side of the scale or the other by reducing gluten, reducing dairy, reducing things that we've seen in research that are highly inflammatory, oftentimes that can help balance out those scales. However, what I see a lot is that people stop there and then they get really frustrated and then they think, this isn't working. Adding gluten back in, adding dairy back in, there's no difference. And so I'm just going to keep pressing on. Unfortunately, what we're oftentimes missing in that scenario is the whole function of how our body is working and the ways that that could also be contributing to that inflamed state. So I'm just going to touch on a few things here because this is something that I could give an hour-long presentation on in depth with a whole lot of research, and we still would not plumb the depths of this. But I just want to make you aware of some of these things as I start to introduce this topic. So, the first thing I'm thinking is the function of digestion. Is there something there that's causing inflammation? So, think of it this way. If we aren't breaking our foods down thoroughly as we are swallowing food and putting it into our digestive process, if there are large particles that are contributing to that inflammation because our body is not able to break down our protein sources, break down our fibrous vegetables, or whatever it else is that you're eating, that is going to, again, going back to those scales, tip the side of inflammation a lot further than our body can repair and recover from that, right? Another example of something that I would be thinking of is, you know, we can look at what research is telling us foods in general that are inflammatory to a population of people. Those lists tend to be kind of confusing and long, and a large part of why that is because there are so many unique foods for your body that could possibly be inflammatory, right? So for me, for example, if I eat gluten or dairy or cane sugar, those things are definitely going to set off an inflammatory response for my body. Those three things are very common on any amount of, research that we'll look at. There's very few people that are saying, you could still eat sugar, you could still eat gluten, right? We know that these things are definitely inflammatory, even if our body can handle it in stride. Another one for me, particularly, that is very inflammatory is black pepper. And black pepper is an interesting one because it's not something that the vast majority of the population needs to avoid. And it's not even something I have to avoid all the time. But if I have too much black pepper too close together, it does set off an inflammatory response in my body. And I start to feel it in the way that I'm achy in the morning when I wake up. I'll notice it in my skin, I'll notice it in how I feel. When I start moving in the morning, my muscles feel really stiff and really tight. And then digestively, I'll feel it as well. So this is part of the reason why when we start to do these generic anti-inflammatory diets, it's not going to be specifically what's best for your body. And that's where I can see some of these things that, if we, especially if we eliminated something like gluten and dairy, and that was totally new for you, but then you added in foods that are even more inflammatory for your body, you are actually going to feel worse as you start to implement that. So for example, if you reacted to almond and you cut out gluten and dairy and you added in almond flour and almond milk and almond yogurt and all these other alternatives that have a high ingredient in common, that could be a huge reason that you are noticing some painful inflammation response to the anti-inflammatory diet. So something that I just want you to be thinking of as you hear about, how do I navigate this? I definitely would start with, let's cut out gluten, let's cut out sugar, let's cut out processed foods. Let's try to clean up what we're eating. So maybe not going to fast food, instead just sticking to whole food sources, doing things a little bit more simply, meat and vegetables and fruits, having more control over our ingredients is going to help us to kind of notice if we are seeing common threads of, oh, when I eat this, then I feel like this later. Whereas if we're eating processed foods or foods that are all mixed together, it's really difficult to distinguish where is the food coming from that is causing this higher inflammatory response. If this is something that you want help with, or even just to pick my brain, I have a free discovery call, and I would absolutely love to just chat with you for a 15-minute discovery call about where you're at and what you could potentially try in the future, as well as what it looks like to work with me and have somebody walk alongside of you and help you navigate this. Because this can be really confusing and heavy, and sometimes just having someone else that can tell us, let's try these things because you have these symptoms that are telling me that this is the loudest thing that your body is communicating to us at this moment. And a lot of times, if we can move those boulders out of the way that are preventing your optimal health, then we can start to let the body speak to us more in terms of what are some other things we're responding to and ways that we can support our body from here.